Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. Today, the gang is back. The original
Yay.
Gang. Get out of here, Josh. We have a Mr. Hassan.
Hello.
Over there.
I'm back. I'm alive, guys.
A Queen Ram over there.
Hey, everybody.
And today on our lovely nerdy podcast, we're talking about the most brilliant, riveting piece of cinematic universe in the world. You know what? MCU, eat your heart out.
Oscar bait.
We're talking about Godzilla vs. Kong, and by extension, the MonsterVerse. Because I don't think we've actually ever spoken about any of these films.
No, we have not. For a reason.
I don't even think we've talked about it with each other, which is weird. Yeah. Like, we talk about these kind of movies like all the time.
Yeah.
When we were preparing, and I was like, "Yeah, I've actually watched Godzilla," and then Levi was like, "Oh, really?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah, Ram was all over the place. She's like, "Yeah, I've watched this film," and she's like, "Can you send me the film?" I'm like, "The one that you watched," and she's like, "No, I meant the other one."
Yeah, because the titles are so confusing.
It's like, yeah, fun fact, guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, fun fact: I didn't know there was a Peter. I didn't know the Peter Jackson one and the MonsterVerse one was different films. I was saying, yeah, I've seen King Kong, I've seen it, and then I looked up, I was like, wait, wasn't Jack Black in this film or something? And it really was not that film.
Do you know when we were talking and I was like, oh, these are the ones I've got left? It was because I went and checked. I was like, wipe away the sweat. I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah, it's we're going to have a fun time talking about them. I had more fun than I thought. I'm not even going to lie to you.
For real.
But before that, let's reach into the nerddom and pull out some news that we'd like to talk about. And we're going to start with the British Esports Association. So they're calling for esports tournaments to be held that cater exclusively to players with disabilities. Ram, where did you even find this piece of news? Because I see these things and I totally didn't.
Basically we get this like newsletter at work and it always has like game stuff in it, but like I find it really interesting because the game stuff that they put in it isn't always like really mainstream stuff. Like a lot of it is to do with like legal stuff or like things like this. And it's quite British.
Do you want to send me that newsletter?
Yeah. I mean, it's got other stuff, but like occasionally you'll have like a random chunk of gaming. But yeah, I know. I just thought it was really cool considering that last week we were talking about like games being used to help with people with disabilities in terms of like cognitive tests and stuff like that. So it's good that also just in the more like fun side of things as well, that they're trying to make it more inclusive for everybody. Yeah. I didn't even know that there was a British Esports Association. Yeah. But that's good to know.
No, you're right. I mean, to be honest, even with the technological advancements in gaming, like some of the way you can get these like specialized control pads and like at various different kind of price range, whether it's just extra buttons on the control pad or totally different style of input for people that might not be able to hold a control pad. It is good to see that something that can help people so much, they're kind of catering to it more and making it more accessible and more of an option. And like you said, not just for learning purposes, you can like get involved and play competitively and play with your friends. You know, it's nice to know that people are kind of looking into that and trying calling for that to happen. It's neat.
For real, like it's one of my favorite like forms of escapism, like playing video games. And I'm so glad that as a community, it's opening up to people who have traditionally been kind of like left on the wayside. And I really want to see like more of these kind of things happening going forward. Such good news.
Yeah, definitely. But let's move on from that. So we have a streaming report from HBO that suggests, sorry, I'm just laughing reading this.
No, I didn't want to put it in because I didn't want to be salty.
No. It must be plain.
No, we're so objective. We have to give them their time, you know.
Yeah. And also facts. We like facts. So this report suggests that there's a limited audience for
limited
for the Snyderverse. I mean, Ram, do you want to elaborate on that a little bit? What that exactly means?
So basically, HBO just carried out like basically who's been watching like all of, who watched the Snyder Cut effectively, and it wasn't really a hit basically on the streaming website, which suggests, as you know, we've already said, that there's not actually that many people who actually want to watch the film, because compared to like other stuff that they have on HBO Max, they called it a modest hit, so which I feel like is kind of rude. That's basically, it was a flop.
It was, but like it's better than what them it saying was, we spent 70 million for nothing. Like that's much worse.
So based on just that film, it kind of, I guess like after us watching it, we kind of were like, oh yeah, like, you know, maybe the Snyderverse might come back, but it seems like from a financial point, or exactly from HBO, they didn't really think that it should, because it didn't do the work. It was hyped, but it did not hype. I don't know.
I mean, how many, sorry, go on, Hassan, go on.
I was going to say, I feel like there's a certain level of like propaganda from like people like us, like podcasters who have like really like pushed it out there into like the ether, into places where like people who aren't like rabid DC fans who were going to watch it anyway have like heard about it and like want to see it. So I'm like, it could just be like an inflation in the zeitgeist rather than an actual clamor for people wanting to watch it. So like now that we're seeing these numbers, I'm like, I'm not really that surprised.
Yeah, I think also like they compared it to, because I guess because all the fans were like, oh, it's been breaking records, and it was like, nah. I think they compared it to, I think Wonder Woman did really well, Judas did better than it, Godzilla did, like everything that else that they've released did a lot better than the Snyder Cut. So. I mean, but also like, who wants to sit there and watch a movie for 4 hours when you could just quickly watch like a 2-hour movie? I don't know.
For real, you could watch two better movies.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people kind of just go. I think it's a good example of just, I say this to Ram all the time. Like, the internet is not always representative of real life. And sometimes when you're online tweeting and talking to people, you might get a certain perception of what people think of, just to keep it in the nerddom, like of films and stuff, like whether something's successful or not. And then sometimes you just take a step back and look at data and be like, okay, it's not just this echo chamber. There's loads of people that just didn't actually care. Mm-hmm. That was most of my friends' sentiments for the film, to be honest with you. Like, they were just like, I don't care. I mean, I might watch it if the situation arises. I wonder how much subscriptions that it brought in, though, because I feel like that was the... that was kind of the main, like, I feel like it was a sack. They sacked the film, just like, they didn't care about that. It was how much people could get on HBO Max. I'm quite curious.
It is definitely, like, for lack of a better term, a console seller. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that, no, that, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
it's definitely a system seller, if anything. There's so much in the HBO vaults, though. I'm so glad that people don't just see that and go, well, I'm done with HBO, at least.
I mean, I did that. Instantly. Although, it's anyway, let me not continue what I was about to say. Anyway, moving on. Bit of Netflix anime news. Is this Ram's favorite new anime? Go.
No, it's not. You know, I was talking to my brother about this because I read the manga. I've only got like one volume of it, and I, like, everyone had been like raving about it, but I didn't really find it that, like, it was more like a instead of like a laugh out loud, it was more like a like, do you know when you make that noise when something's funny?
The hot air coming out.
Just like the nose release. Or whatever. But then I was like, oh, I feel like maybe the pacing of it would make the anime better, but I haven't really taken to it either. But just everyone was really hyped for it, so I thought I'd just flag that. And also, I'm willing, someone can prove me wrong.
I was gonna say, how far are you in?
I've only watched like one episode.
That's why you need to keep watching this.
I've read the manga, so that's why I'll try it. I guess because I was expecting more like Psyche K vibes, and I find that show hilarious. Like, I cannot stop.
Psyche K is hilarious, but trust me, like, I watched the first two episodes and I was fully ready to like just like lock it up and be like, I'm done with this show. The animation's
okay.
It is what it is, right? And then I watched the third episode and it clicked. I had that moment.
What happens in the third episode?
It's not even like what happens in the episode. It's the way that it all comes together, the humor, the voice acting, which is amazing. Like there's moments where like high animation kind of against the jarringly like lethargic kind of animation where it just, it works so well. And then I finished the rest in the same day. It's so good.
Like, I'll try again, but so if good. I don't find it funny, I'm never gonna take another recommendation from you.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's on the line. It's all on the line. I mean, I'm
no, but I mean, humor is a risky one, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like it doesn't subjective. Always. Yeah, I mean, I might see how I feel about the next volume. Do you want this volume? Because it's just
sure.
You can have it next time I see you. You can have it.
Yeah.
I want to check it out. I've been meaning to. Check out a new anime. Even yesterday I was like, oh, what do I need to watch? And I'm like, oh snap, I'm not ready. Titan's finished, Kaizen's finished, sad times. I need to check something out. But yeah, that's on Netflix for you guys. You want to check it out? I do want to watch the other one that you're talking about around the high school, the what was it? I can't remember what it was, and they're on the roof of
High Rise Invasion.
High Rise Invasion. That one.
Everyone should watch Skate Infinity as well.
I've heard good things.
I've been really enjoying that. Even though it's very female audience.
It's shoujo, or is it Jose? Yeah.
It's not shoujo or Jose. It's weird. It is shonen, but it's just very like there's a lack of women in it. There's a lot of fan service for women.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Like there's enough kind of going the other way, like. Fair enough.
Yeah, it just kind of threw me off because I was like, whoa.
You weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
Nice, like, nice.
For me?
Okay, on to the next bit of news. Epic's end of year financial report has come out, and it seems that they are about to lose around $300 million. This is due to the Epic Store that they launched. I can't even remember when. It's quite new. A couple of years ago, I'm sure Hassan, you were aware of when that first launched, and a lot of things like the Epic Store promised. You know, like paying creatives more money and this, that, and the third, and also a lot of what practices I don't like getting games locked down on the Epic Store, which is kind of jarring if you're a PC. Gamer, but it seems like they are set to lose this money due to basically investing in getting a lot of these exclusivity deals and also just giving away I think they give away a free game every week. I just thought it was interesting that they're making such a loss for them. But as we know, Epic is rich, like, you know, Fortnite, they got coins, so I guess they're fine with that. I guess it's more of an investment for them.
So here's the thing with like Epic and with the deals and with the speculative nature of like what they're doing. It's not for today. It's not for next year. It's like years and years down the line. Because they're chasing Valve, who have monopoly, right? There's literally no one who can compete on equal terms with Valve, not Microsoft, not EA, not any of them, right? Because Valve kind of consolidates all those things. The idea of like the Epic exclusive is an extension of consoles, and they're just making the storefronts on PC into new consoles, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't like kind of exclusivity, but like I understand it. Like they want to make their offer more like seductive to you, the buyer, right? And this is the
but it's just so much more egregious with software, though. It's not even like you're getting a different
it's
hardware. It's you're just like two programs.
No, but, like, but yeah, go here's, on. Here's the thing, right? Like, I kind of feel like it's less scummy because they're not forcing you to buy a hardware to then buy a game. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That's why I feel like it's less scummy on a PC kind of storefront than it is on a console thing. Because it's like, even if this is the only game I play on it, I have to buy the console.
That's true. And nowadays we're looking at that's half a bag, isn't it? Mm-hmm, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
But like, so. As much as like I don't like what they're doing, why they're doing it, I can kind of get behind, because like you got to remember, like Valve is not your friend, Steam is not your friend. It's 6 years since they've had a refund policy. 6 years in the entirety of their lifespan. Like, if they get competition, it's a good thing. And this is going to make the whole landscape healthier for everyone around it. It's going to be shit for a while because, A, the Epic Store runs like garbage. It doesn't run as well.
Hot garbage.
But, like, if they can fulfill those promises of, like, taking care of the developers, like, paying developers more, making games cheaper for us, I'm all in, right? I'm more than happy to.
They have so far, to be fair. Mm. That's why they're taking the loss, I suppose. Mm. But like you said, if you've got the money for it, similar to Microsoft, like purchasing the IPs to put them on Game Pass, if you've got the money for it, at the end of the day, it's the consumer that wins. I mean, I think it's quite interesting, especially with the stuff that they've got going on with Apple. You know, they're still trying to get Fortnite on them iPhones.
Mate, that whole beef is stupid, but we don't have time to like really get into it because it's a long one. Like, one of my favorite things though, like with the Microsoft thing, is like, you know, MLB the Game, which is produced by Sony, is on Games Pass.
Damn.
So you can play it for free on Xbox, but as a Sony player, a game that's developed by Sony, you have to pay for.
Oh, we love these little loopholes and things that just kind of slip through the cracks. Interesting, mate.
Microsoft are laughing all the way home. This generation.
But let's move on. A Gundam live action movie is heading to Netflix. I don't know how I feel about this, but I do love Gundam, Mobile Suit Gundam series. So,
is it based on something specific or just
the IP? So, I guess.
Yeah, the IP. I mean. Who knows what liberties they'll take? It's going to Netflix.
I've got one thing. Wait. MonsterVerse. Bring the Gundam into the MonsterVerse.
Oh my
God. You know what I was thinking there when I was watching. You know,
we'll get to that. Like, I was the thing that they made. I'm like, really? Like, just make a Gundam.
Do you know how angry I was watching this?
We'll talk about it. But anyway, just to go through it quickly, just some things to know that I thought was quite interesting. This film is actually being written by Brian K. Vaughan and directed. Yep, I was and directed by Jordan Vogt Roberts. I know Ram knows Mr. Vaughan from, is it Saga? He done?
Yeah, he done Saga.
I could read his accolades, but he's been, you know, Marvel, DC, Image,
Star Wars, the Runaway.
He's a goat.
And he's also done a bit of writing for Lost and like you said, around Runaways. And the other guy, Jordan, sorry, I forgot his name. He actually directed Skull Island.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. He's also directing the Metal Gear Solid series film. Yes.
They're still making that.
It's still happening. So, yeah, the one with Oscar Isaac, isn't it? I just thought it was interesting. These guys have got some good works behind them. I don't know if that will make Gundam any better, but I'll still watch it, you know.
These are the building blocks that they can build it with.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We trust Brian. We trust his writing. Mm. And finally, we'll just breeze through this because I thought you guys have seen this, but there was a CW image leak.
I have seen it, actually.
Powerpuff Girls.
I have. And it's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm not enjoying it. Also, a bit of colorism going on in there, but never mind.
Really? I'm not gonna lie. Go on.
No, I was just gonna say that I'm pretty sure they have. You know how recently they came out with that black Powerpuff Girl?
Yeah. What in a cartoon?
Yeah. And so I think she's in it as well, but like she is not. She don't look that black. But anyway.
I don't know what's. I didn't even know that. So what happened to who did the black one replace someone?
No, she didn't replace someone.
So there was four.
Yeah.
But then, okay. Anyway, I don't know. But
things are heating up in the Powerpuff fandom.
It wasn't me who brought it up. I was talking to my cousin and she was like, "Oh, isn't that meant to be the thing?" And I was like, "No, isn't that
what is her name? Like, what is
That's why
not
I'm just
bubbles,
saying,
no. Buttercup.
No, no but yeah, Buttercup is. I'm talking about Blistina.
Her name is Blistina.
I feel like the lady, is it Yana Perot you're talking about? Isn't she being
Oh, yeah, she's been Buttercup. Yeah, there's four. There's two.
So they've traded one black girl for two light skinned girls. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was some fuzzy ass maths. Holy shit.
Thank you for listening to my algebra class. Okay, I mean, that's what I was so shocked at, the amount of outrage and conversation. I'm like, it's Powerpuff Girls. I didn't even know that was a Powerpuff Girl until the other day.
Sorry, I was just gonna you know, like when the Winx Club came out and there was outrage about that. I think it's like when you take the Winx Club is this
Hassan showed visible confusion.
The Winx Club is this like kids TV show from like the mid 2000s or early 2000s, whatever. I used to watch that. Netflix did an adaptation and there was a big like hoo-ha about that, not only just with the casting, because Winx Club was surprisingly quite diverse. They had like an Asian woman, a Latino woman, they had a black girl, and then for some strange reason they decided to get rid of their two of those and replaced it with two white girls. But then they also made the series really dark, and it was just like, why can't, like, people liked the lightness of the series, so why can't you just, they like, we watched it for the cheese. So I think that the same thing is kind of happening with Powerpuff Girls. I don't know,
do you think they watched Sabrina and they were like, we could do that?
No, that's literally what they did.
I mean, I feel like I read a synopsis somewhere and it was like that they're going to be in their mid-20s and are like disenfranchised by the fact, you know, they're upset that they had no child.
I don't want that.
What in the pad is this fiction?
It feels like the people who grew up with it who were like, I'm disenfranchised. Now I'm going to ruin that thing from my childhood. And I was like,
No, but even then, I think, because like when I was watching a YouTube video about the Winx Club thing, I think this woman, I can't remember, otherwise I watched a lot of these, I don't know why, but a lot of the like consensus was kind of that, like, why do we keep kind of shaming girls for liking things that are girly, or not celebrating girlhood? And I think that it's really unfair to, I know that they're trying to bank on the like nostalgia of like, the fact that the age group that would have been watching that show have now grown up and so they want to go darker. But I think that we still love those things from when we were kids because of what they did for us when we were kids. You don't need to make it all dark and sexy for us to watch it.
Especially a Cartoon Network property, man.
Yeah.
Like, man, what the hell?
Okay, there was some dark shit on Cartoon Network, though.
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, but
that was great.
The guy's older and is dealing with mental health, and he thinks his imaginary friends are still there and they're not there. Yeah, let's do that. There you go. There you go, CW. I mean,
I'm kind of into that.
Oh my God.
You're the problem.
I mean, I am. I know.
And don't you dare slander Cartoon Network. Everything on there was great.
Are you telling me that Invader Zim wasn't kind of like nightmarish?
Okay, all right.
Hilarious, but it was kind of nightmarish. Like,
Cartoon Network is a bizarre cesspool.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy, man. Right. Let's not forget Ren and Stimpy, because that was chef kiss.
But let's move on. Let's move on to the main event, the MonsterVerse. greatest cinematic. I'm still shaking from these films, I'll be honest, guys. Like, I think this has changed my life. So as everyone knows, Godzilla and Kong came out a couple weeks ago. You know, we're still in the pandemic. I keep forgetting that other countries are more open than we are in the UK. Like, people are going going out and having things open, and I'm like, rare, we just
and going
opened
to
up
the cinema.
Mate,
yeah,
I've got some American friends, and the way they talk, I'm just like, but this pandemic, like, what are you doing? Oh, it's freaking me out.
You've got to remember that their country is not as like densely populated as England, like the size of it. Some depending on, I guess it depends on like state to state. I'm sure you see patterns of like New York and other like more denser places, more hit up. I think Texas, those kind of places are okay-ish. But I'm like, they're letting us go pubs, but they're not letting us go cinema. Like, you can
literally go to uni. What?
You can go to the pub.
I don't understand.
Anyway, so Godzilla, you know, the box office kind of showed that we are still fully in the pandemic era. I mean, this is the highest box office, grossing box office film in this, I hate saying pandemic era. Can I call it something else? I don't know.
This year.
So it brought, I mean, we say that, but
no,
then
it's still from like
it counts some of last year as
no,
well.
No, I'm
I believe.
Saying like from the year of the pandemic. That's what I mean.
Oh yeah,
this like, oh, quote yeah. unquote this.
Yeah, yeah. This thing, this time period.
Yeah,
these trying times.
But that being said, we say it's the highest grossing, but it's still like, you know, 48.5 billion, which is, you know, for the for now it's a lot, but you know, you objectively looking at that figure, it's a bit like okay, but also, these are two of, you know, pop culture's like greatest icons, depending on who you ask, who's more like of an icon than the other. And this is the first time that they've clashed since 1962.
You're right.
Which is quite interesting.
You're right. And Mechagodzilla kind of fought them at the same time.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Deja vu. But before we get into the MonsterVerse, let's go for a quick history lesson, guys, of Mr. Zilla and Sir Kong.
I fell into a rabbit hole because I did not realize how, I don't know, famous Godzilla is.
Yeah. It's a huge deal. Huge deal.
I learned a lot yesterday.
Godzilla, I mean, Ram, do you want to teach us about Godzilla a little bit?
Okay, a little bit. This is like probably just like touching the iceberg.
What do they call it when you when they give you the rundown on the fighters? Like, this is that.
Oh, the breakdown.
This is the fighter breakdown. Yeah.
So Godzilla is probably the most famous pop culture monster ever. He even has a Hollywood, like a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's how famous he is. I don't know how I missed that one, but okay, whatever. So his origins began in 1954 in the very popular kaiju films, and he's appeared in various media, including 36 films, most of them being in Japan, and then I think 4 Hollywood films, which are the MonsterVerse films. He was conceived as a metaphor, or well, people interpret him as a metaphor for the nuclear weapons, in reference to the bombing of
Hiroshima
and Nagasaki, and also the Lucky Dragon 5 incident, which is when a crew of 23 men on a tuna fishing boat were contaminated due to nuclear fallout from American testing at Bikini Atoll, I think that's how you pronounce it, which is a Marshall Island, which is mad. I think all the men luckily survived, but one of them did die due to an underlying condition. So that was very like much in the Japanese consciousness. And a lot of people see Godzilla, obviously, like with his whole thing with nuclear weapons, basically fueling him and stuff, being one of the, yeah, metaphors. But some people also see it as a metaphor for the USA, as in this big underlying power that comes out of nowhere and
that shoots nuclear atomic
everything. Yeah.
eats radiation up. and lets out radiation. Like Hayao Miyazaki talks, like when he was younger, he used to write like these comics that are vastly different from like the stuff that we see like now that he's famous for. Yeah. Like where he was, because he grew up like kind of in the aftermath of all this, and he's his rage at America and like his refusal to use American like cars and kind of things. Hunt down those comics, they're fascinating reads. They're like really, really fascinating reads.
So that it kind of was born of like a lot of political political stuff, and also just like trauma of what had happened. But over time, these themes were a lot less serious in the movies, and Godzilla eventually developed to be more of an anti-hero as opposed to a villain. So there's a lot more movie.
The laugh from Godzilla vs. Kong. Sorry. Go on, sorry.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sorry. When you said anti-hero, that's what I thought of.
Yeah, he became more of an anti-hero, kind of becoming this figure that sometimes helps people, but also retaining that kind of monster-like features of like being unpredictable. You never really know whether he's coming to save you or he's coming to fuck you up. And his name is a blend of the Japanese words for gorilla and whale, because originally he was supposed to be a cross between a gorilla and whale. I'm having like such a hard time trying to picture what that would look like.
Godzilla.
But
think I mean, King Kong with the tail. King Kong with the tail.
Yeah, that's what like, I literally was seeing a hairy mermaid.
Just like hair swimming in the water.
Yeah,
just
like... I was like, I'm not seeing it. But no,
Godzilla
yeah,
gives whale vibes. He has a really big torso.
But he does not give me gorilla vibes.
Could you imagine him coming out of the water like Jason Momoa? Like just cut, like, flicking his hair around.
Some random Icelandish lady sniffing his hair.
Oh, that was weird.
That he just ripped.
That was weird. So
there's some interesting stuff about his name. The kind of like anglicization of it has turned more into Godzilla, but it is actually supposed to be pronounced more like how the Gojira. Japanese people
Gojira.
Like, yeah. But we ended up calling it Godzilla, which I guess kind of works. It's quite integrated into pop culture. So he's fought many monsters, including Mechagodzilla, King Kong, other things, but also Marvel characters. So he's faced off with S.H.I.E.L.D., Fantastic Four, and the Avengers. So yeah, this is Godzilla.
Nice.
Short history.
I was gonna do the screen, but then I was like, "That's gonna be an awful thing to
no,
hear."
I think just do medium. It and then cut it out if it doesn't work. Do it. Okay. So, there were some interesting things about his design as well. Actually, just like each kind of person who's helmed a Godzilla film has really like put their own spin on him. But in general, he does look like a dinosaur, basically.
There's a sheer sense of scale.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's changed size a lot in the various. I feel like
it's a lizard joke. It's a lizard joke.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I got that. So
I was deep in my like design.
Yeah, you heard my groan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just zip through the Kong stuff. For time's sake, because that's who I be. King Kong is actually the older of the two beasts. Mm-hmm. He was conceived by one Martin C. Cooper in 1933. Unfortunately, there's not that much of like a thematic thing behind King Kong or anything like symbolic. Mm-hmm. But Martin Cooper was, I think this was around the time that they discovered the Komodo dragon, mm-hmm. which they thought it was like a before extinct species of lizard. Martin Cooper actually used to refer to it as the... King of Komodo, and he also just had a love of hard K sounding words, so that is basically how he eventually came to King Kong.
What's going on with these two creations? Like, you've got one that was supposed to be a gorilla whale, and then you've got King of the Komodo dragons, which are anyway.
Yeah, Cooper had a
It's opposite day.
Yeah,
he had a fascination with like, you know, like lost animals sort of thing, like extinct, and you can kind of get that vibe from like. The whole concept of Skull Island itself, to be fair.
It's the whole like, adventure book. Yeah, I was going to say, it's the whole adventure book kind of thing from like back in the day. Like, you know, those adventure tales and like Abbott and Costello kind of are like the satire of those things. But like they used to be the big books. Like 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Like, you know, the Hollow Earth thing where they go and they find... Mm-hmm. Like it's all of those things all together.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. And also, King Kong has had a kind of a big impact on pop culture as a whole since then. I mean, we've had a lot of apes that have kind of emulated it, such Donkey Kong, Rampage, that I accidentally started to watch the other day. Sorry, Ram. You know,
I've watched it. So it's fine. Not on my account, though.
And even in comics such as DC, you've got Titano the Super Ape as well, amongst others, like any
Grodd, let's not forget Grodd.
Yeah. Like I said before, you know, King Kong first linked Godzilla in 1962. From what I've seen, that film seemed a bit too goofy, but I mean, looking at this 2021 film, is there much difference? I don't know. And even actually Godzilla itself, there was a scene that was recreated from the original Godzilla scene that came from King Kong, which was that kind of train scene when the train was elevated over the bridge. So it's Kong itself has been very inspirational. As we know, he's switched directors and hands and had, just like Godzilla, had various interpretations. Funny you mentioned Zod, like Peter Jackson's kind of Kong was very, I feel like that was the most ape-like we kind of had him. Like, if you look at Peter Jackson's King Kong and then look at the MonsterVerse Kong, like, Peter Jackson's King Kong just looks like a gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally a gorilla. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's Kong in the red, blue, whatever in corner the
blue
he's in.
Corner. Kong!
So, let's just jump straight into this MonsterVerse review. It is apparently the last confirmed MonsterVerse film. I'm going to always say for now, because where there's money for Mick, these companies will make it. So we're going to review MonsterVerse, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the other films and rank them. I mean, I don't think it's that hard to rank these films. Maybe it's a couple of the in-between ones we might have different opinions from, but who knows? What we'll do is we'll go spoiler-free, and then we'll just lead into spoilers, you know? I mean, there's not much spoilers.
Like, I think the only spoilers are they're really big and they're very strong, and you think they might have died, they didn't die. Like, that's, yes, that's it. Basically. That's every movie as well. Like, you think they died, they didn't die. Like,
I got really tired of that after a while.
Yeah. It's very much Transformer vibes in that sense. But yeah, let's go on, Hassan. You let us know your thoughts. Just try and keep the spoilers out for it for now. Just give your opinion.
Spoiler free. I've got like a working theory that this is the better Batman versus Superman movie.
Oh my days! That was one of my notes.
Mate, it lines up perfectly, right? All they were missing is for someone to have been like, Mothra, why did you say that name? That was all they're missing, right?
That would have been excellent. You should make a spoof, a parody spoof of it, and then there should be like a moment where they're like, Mothra! Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be Godzilla. It's like, why are you saying Mothra? Kong's got a tear in his eye, he's about to die.
Oh my god.
But
so this movie, it's what you would get if you give a kid a lot of money and like an infinite budget for special effects and to basically paint out their dream of watching their two like titans fight. It's very fun. Don't think about it.
Don't think about it too much.
Like that's like my elevate pitch. There's a monkey, there's a lizard, there might be something else that's kind of one but not the other.
If you was gonna give it a describing a word in terms of like good, bad, fine, great, like give me one adjective to describe this film.
Okay. So it's great fights, bad writing. cool worlds.
Ram, give us your thoughts.
I think that so when I watched all these movies, I was doing my hair. So it was a great movie to do your hair to. that's my review, because it's like fun. I think it was enjoyable to watch. I get like it was fun. I think that because the two characters are kind of so endearing, or at least so embedded in pop culture, that you kind of can watch these movies without feeling like pissed off that it's bad, if you get what I mean. Mm-hmm, or not necessarily bad, but you don't get annoyed that it's not like a perfect movie compared to like, I don't know what it is about like Batman versus Superman. Like I was angry that I had spent time doing that, whereas this, it was like, I guess because going in I kind of knew what it was gonna be, so I wasn't really like looking for a masterpiece or anything. I was like, okay, this is like a fun little film to watch, and you know, I like Godzilla. I was Team Kong. I don't care what anyone says. There were like so many times where I was like, oh babe, oh like, you know, I think that, what else do I think? Yeah, the effects were cool, I guess. The music was cool. I think the one thing that I struggle with all the films in the MonsterVerse is like, you don't really have much connection to the humans at all. And it's not like they're kind of pointless. And
I'm nodding vigorously.
I don't know whether I should add this in my spoiler. I'll wait for my spoiler points because this is just general. But I think that because of that, I wish that the writing focused a lot more on like, because I feel like Kong, they did a really good job of kind of building an emotional connection with him and kind of understanding how his animal brain works. Like, obviously, he's still an animal, but kind of understanding the history of this character. And I think that is, if you're going to make a film about these two monsters, and I'll kind of elaborate on this later, but like, you should focus a lot more on the monsters, because the humans, like, we're not focusing on them anyway, so we could just take that time and just follow, like, it could be a, like a David Attenborough documentary.
This isn't The Walking Dead, right? Like, yeah, don't worry about the humans.
Yeah.
let's talk about monsters.
Yeah, so I think that that's probably like something that I would have wanted more of. What else do I have? Yeah, it's just, it's difficult to say. I feel like there's not that much to dissect for what it is. So I would like, you know, I would say you can watch it. It's a great movie. Maybe, yeah, like just a fun movie to watch with the family. Do your hair, do some ironing.
Do anything other than consciously watching it.
Yeah. It's like pop in and out of the room type film, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. never pause it. This is a film you don't pause when you go to the toilet.
Unless it's the fight scenes.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really got much more to add than what you guys have said. I mean, to be honest with you, when this isn't a spoiler, but when the opening credits ran and it was that kind of WWE showdown type,
like, it was proper fight night shit. That was like, great
anime tournament image of like all the L's that these are. I knew what time it was from then. And also, I guess I did go on quite a journey watching these films, because I watched it Kong and then Zilla 1-2 and then Zilla vs Kong. So I got worn down. Ram knows I'm someone that nitpicks a lot in films, and these films wore me down. So by the time I got to Godzilla vs Kong, I was almost a different man watching these films. Like, I was just like, all right, I'm gonna just turn a blind eye to that one. I'm gonna just suspend my disbelief there. I'm gonna just do that there. Like, it wore me down, and I think that's why I kind of enjoyed the last film that in the autumn, because I watched them in quick succession. But yeah, the writing was trash. I think out of all of them, it was probably the worst, arguably the worst sort of story on the human side. But the fight scenes and the animal scenes were probably the best. The Beast of Titan scenes were the best out of all of the MonsterVerse scenes. Actually, I think this is the only film where we had fights that were not in dark, dimly lit, cloudy, stormy, or snowy weather. I think this is the only film that had daytime. Like, there was nothing obscure. Like, well, Skull Island, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, it's mostly the Godzilla films that had like the
all that dark, all that dark, gritty,
you can't
nastiness. But I just think in terms of all the films, it just went, this is jumping the shark, this film. It was like, I don't know, like, the characters were a bit just like, it was just so lazy, man.
They jumped so hard, like,
yeah. But the fight scenes, they were long enough compared to the other scenes as well that I was like, oh, and it's still kind of going, if you get what I'm saying. Similar to the vibes that I get from Invincible. Like, I'll be like, oh, watching some of these action scenes, and then they still kind of going. I'm like, oh my god, like, it's still happening.
Because like, he's already dead. Yeah.
Like, you used to, like, I don't know, like, I'm not good with time, so forgive me if I'm wrong. You used to like 5 or maybe 6 minute fight scenes, maybe probably less, to be honest, like a couple minutes. But I felt like the ones here, these set pieces were quite long. But yeah, also, maybe it was because I got a new 4K monitor. I turned that HDR on, and a lot of the visuals in this film were like making my eyes melt a little bit. Like, there was a lot of the, you know, like the blues and the reds. You know how HDR is. I was like, rah, like, this film actually did look stunning. It was visually stunning. I cannot even lie. When they dropped Kong in the Antarctic or wherever the hell they went, and the snow was kind of ruffling off his fur, like, it was a lot.
Yeah, I think I did too.
I mean, that's all I really, there's not much, to be honest, there's not much to say about this film. Let's just go straight into the spoilers, really, because
man,
it's just spoiler free, just to close that, I would say it's just a film, like, you know who you are if you're going to watch this film, like, you know who you are and you know what you want from life.
Just take it
and enjoy it. Like, I this isn't a film to try and pitch to anyone. You watch the trailer if you want it, you want it, you don't, you don't.
No, I was just going to say, it did make me realize, like, how critical I am of films all the time.
Yeah,
and
what kind of film
I watched, because I was like, wait, when's the last time that I just went to watch a film and I just knew that, like, there's nothing to say about this film, I'm just watching it. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
Coming to America.
But that was a hate watch, though. I'm talking about, like, a Fast and Furious, where I'm not going to come out of here and be like, oh, yeah, this scene was, like, excellent. Like, no, I'm just going to watch the film.
Like, you, I didn't come out a better person, I didn't come out a worse person, I didn't change. This is fine.
I just watched the film. That's it.
Can I say go on, Hassan. You were gonna say something, actually.
No, I was gonna leap into my, but go.
I was just gonna say that, back to what I said before about the writing, I thought Godzilla 1 was bad, right? But the thing about this one, is it had people doing things that were, to be honest, there was a hot, like, this could have been very, like, there was just so much different things happening at the same time, and it was just, and I was just like, all right, I already knew I was going to have to switch off to one of these B plots, you know what I mean? But it turns out I just had to switch off to all of them. it was just so rubbish.
And so many good actors in there as well.
They had that kid from Deadpool 2 who's so funny, and like where the wildebeest roam is, he's so funny. Like,
he's so great, and I was like, this is wasted.
And and they were doing the most as well. Like, if this was like a kind of satirical or in like a proper funny type of film, then maybe, but this film seems like it's supposed to have the kind of humor and level of acting that maybe you didn't need to get these names involved in. I mean, Brian Tyree Henry, what was he doing here?
He's so good. Why is he in this movie? He's so talented.
I was like, you guys could have saved so much more money by just getting some random, like, two names.
They could have hired me. I would have hammed that shit up.
They could have just, listen, I would have taken that whole, I would have taken them out of the film and just extended some of the Godzilla and King Kong stuff. I can't even remember any of the characters' names. That's how you know I did not care for the human. So I will be referring
Emma
to
Emma died.
Actors.
Emma Russell. Maddie Russell. The dad.
The dad is just the coach Friday Night Lights to me. That's all I remember.
The dad from... Yeah, like, I feel like his whole family was just forced into this film for no reason. Because Millie was in the second film and he was in the second film. Let's bring them back. I don't know whether I wasn't paying attention or not in the film, which I probably wasn't. But what did the dad actually do in the film? I can't remember.
He flew from wherever he was to Hong Kong, and then he sent Maddie some texts, and then he phoned her, and then he told her not to do stuff, and then she did it anyway. And then at the end, she came back and was like, "Dad!" And I was like, "But you ran away, so I don't understand why you're distressed right now, because you left."
Do you know what it is, right? He failed at being a dad this movie. That's what he did. Yeah. That was his whole gig, and he nailed it. Good job, failure. But going into spoilers, right? I'm going to sound way more critical than I actually am about this movie. I had a good time. Asked my proviso. I really enjoyed this movie. It was fun. But it was maybe some of the most lazy and like forgetful writing. Like, you could see where they put down the Chekhov's gun and then they forgot the Chekhov's gun was there. And then like maybe like 2/3 into the movie, they'll be like, oh shit, we did all that setup. What are we meant to do now? Like,
yeah.
There's yeah, you go.
No, go on. I was just saying it's literally that. It's literally that.
There's a what's good as well. Like with the way they've tried to like have B plots, they did too much and they did a lot that was like distracting from the central kind of conceit of the movie, where there was like, why was there a Kong society? Why? Who benefited from this? Why was this in the movie?
What do you mean in Hollow Earth?
Yeah. Let's not get into the Hollow Earth, right? Because that pisses me off. That deeply pisses me off. The fuzzy science and the fuzzy maths, stop it. But like,
oh no, I didn't. I already knew what time it was. When the guy said, when he said he got crushed because gravity inverted, I already was like, well, let me just untick the science box in my brain.
I was like, you had me at monsters, and like, I was like, we could kind of go with the weird, like, semi quasi religious thing that was going on in Godzilla 2. Weird. I didn't like that, but like, we moved past it, and I was like, okay, cool, we're good, we got to something new. And then they went like, they fully lent into like 1920s adventure book science, and I was like,
nah, it was so wild. I mean, can we just talk about Millie and Brian's side quest?
Mate, I was gonna get into that, because like, the problem what with was like
Star Wars Episode 8 vibes, like what, like
yeah, just like why didn't affect anything. Also, the level of ease. Actually, okay, can I just bring up one point? It does relate to this. Sorry, why are there so many kids in places that they definitely would not be allowed to be in all of this? Like, I know that like she has a special, for example, I've forgotten what the kid's name was. She was
Gia,
really cute. Gia, like, I understand that she has a relationship with Kong, but no one's taking a child to the middle of like where
of Hollow Earth. Mission,
yeah, where the previous mission had died, and yeah, you've got these like fancy new tech things, but they technically have never been tested before. So you're not going to take a child down there. That's like definitely illegal. Millie's just like, is she even allowed to drive a car? Like, I don't know how old she is in this film. I mean, maybe she is, whatever, but like, there's just, I was like, why is it in every movie there's been a child just in a science facility where they definitely should not be? Like, even
why,
if they
are,
were
they not in school?
Yeah, like do they not go to school? But also, even if they were like kind of like on site or whatever, they definitely wouldn't be like in the facility where the monsters are. They'd be like off site somewhere else. Like, I why? I mean,
they traveled. Do you remember they traveled there, and then they went down the slide into the headquarters.
Listen, that whole sequence is so ridiculous. But like, more than anything, like, you know, with Gia in particular, like, and kind of going back to like Skull Island, the moment they landed, they would have got that town sick because of all like the foreign antibodies and like bacteria and stuff that they're carrying with them. They would have killed
them all. You mean the guys before?
yeah, Samuel Jackson, those guys. Yeah. Gia wouldn't have survived.
No, before the other guy when he landed.
Yeah,
the
him
first
too. Him and the Japanese.
He would have killed them.
Like, he would have killed them like with sickness. Like, but like,
I can suspend that
catastrophe.
Though.
I'm like, no, if I this can, catastrophe happened and killed everyone but one child, how would that child have a connection with the animal?
How did that child survive? How long did that child survive between the storm that wiped them out and the woman adopting a child? Did she adopt the child when there was a baby?
I don't know.
Storm was it that? Because anyway, we'll talk
about
when we go.
Storm that was kind of
well, the island was surrounded by a storm, but what did this? Did that island? Did the storm just be like, you know, fuck this island? I don't know.
Oh, they.
Peace out, bro.
Closed in on it. I
it's like
know.
A battle royale game. They just closed in like into a small circle.
The kid thing, and I think what was annoying me more about the child thing is that they don't establish, like, I feel like usually when people put children in the movie, like, for example, in Train to Busan, she's kind of like that emotional anchor of the film that you're kind of like, you know, the highs and lows you kind of go through with that character. But I feel like with Gia, it probably was a lot better than, for example, with Millie Bobby Brown, well, with Maddie's character in the second Godzilla film. But I still kind of was like, you don't focus enough on the story for us to need a child anyway. Like, it could have been a random adult. And also, the other thing that bothered me is that, is her name Eileen? Gia's adoptive mum is known as the Kong Whisperer. I didn't see her have any connection with Kong at all in the movie. I was like, so has she just stolen the name from, you mean Gia's the Kong Whisperer?
No, like,
and she's her supervisor. Like,
she wasn't even the Kong Whisperer until they got on the boat.
and just, well, no, she was, because she had that doll and she did this to Kong in the beginning of the movie.
Okay, just because an animal doesn't kill you doesn't mean that you're the whisperer for that animal.
No, that means that was their signal. So I'll take that.
I mean, why did they, listen, I agree with what you were saying about Kong, because I've always traditionally been a Godzilla fan, but after watching these films, like after watching Skull Island and the other two, I was kind of definitely Team Kong, and I was just so in my feelings. Like, they just had this guy in a little dome, and then this guy comes along and is like, yeah, can we take this asset to the Hollow Earth, please? And the woman's like, sure. And
yeah, after she said, but when it comes to Kong, what I say goes, and she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
She let him do whatever he wanted.
And then heavily sedated him the way they treated him just irked me. Also, I feel like, unfortunately, because of the nature of the two beasts, you do end up getting this thing of like Kong's personality almost being developed, Godzilla, like I was saying to Ram earlier, I said, I was like, Godzilla is a chief. Like, he just turns up and was like, I heard someone needed that smoke. do you know what cracked me up when he murks Kong on the sea, yeah, and then they were all like, play dead, and he was just preying the wreckage, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's the look in his eyes.
He was like, you're done, no, kind of vibe. Yeah.
He just like, he just looked at him like, yo, you want to go again? Are you good? You good?
It's like a proper, like, done no kind of vibes, and just swam off. I was like, isn't this like an apex? He just seems like a Debo. He's like Debo from Friday. Like, he just everyone's like, hide your money.
He did that three times to him in the movie, and every time it was just as satisfying as the first time. Yeah, brilliant.
I think that they really did work on like kind of the emotiveness on Godzilla, because I, like you said before, like I think that because King Kong is like, looks more human-like, and is just like, his eyes are more emotive because we can like recognize emotions on that kind of face. It was like easier to kind of not understand, but kind of like project onto him. Whereas like, it was really hard with the lizard man. I don't know what you're thinking, but like, they did a really good job with like his, I don't know, in this movie, with the interaction between those two monsters, like really came across.
He has a real good death. I mean, they all seem like a real good death.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he does. I was like, whoa.
do you remember when they're in Hollow Earth and Kong looked in the ship, when he had the ship, and he looked in it to see if the girl was in it, and he was like,
"Nope, that was, that made me laugh so much." She was like this, and then
she good.
can we like talk about like that whole subplot, because like they tried to do that thing with Evil Corporation in this movie, and it backfired entirely, because like for me, I was like, I kind of root for this guy. He makes
There
sense.
Was no reason for him to be evil. They just made him evil.
Bro, he wasn't evil. Like, he wasn't evil. In fairness, Godzilla could have come out at any time. They were totally in danger, right?
Yeah.
Also, Godzilla sensing a robot is nonsense. It's dookie nonsense. And we can't, bro.
Like, there's not... Go on.
So like, the whole thing of him, his whole arc is that he wants to make a prevention tool against Godzilla.
He's Tony Stark.
No, not against Godzilla. I think it was in case
Titans.
Godzilla.
It was just Titans in general. Yeah. It's just Titans in general, right?
Yeah, yeah. That like, thing, yeah.
In the last, like, kind of cinema wise, like the last decade, it must have been like the hundreds of millions have died because the whole cities have been wrecked, right? Like, hundreds of millions of people have died. I'm like, this is a natural step and the kind of a normal kind of idea for people to want to find a precaution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the people who are like going, oh, nah, Godzilla's our boy. I'm like, you're an Uncle Tom.
Gojira,
get out of this house.
You must have faith. That guy died in the second film. All he used to say is, you must have faith in Gojira. And everyone's like, do we though? Should we though?
Hell no. Hell no.
And then he'd always look down like, maybe not.
I was going to say, to kind of jump off what Hassan said, I think that was one thing that really bothered me about the movie, again, with like the human stories and like, us not really caring about them. I felt that was even more kind of insulting by the fact that every time like Godzilla or like King Kong like burst through a building or just even took a step, I was like, hundreds of people have died and we're not even addressing that. Like, it made me feel so uncomfortable because I was like, that's why
I was like, whoa,
they needed to make it more of a monster movie, because if we're not gonna care about the humans at all, like, I wouldn't think about that, but you've given me these human characters that I think I'm supposed to care about, so obviously I'm gonna think about, like, the collateral damage. Whereas if they weren't really that much, if they weren't really a part of the story, then I don't think I would have, like, been as disturbed by that. I think that either
they would show the kid, they would show the people, like, running.
Yeah, like, literally, it wouldn't even be like for it empty. Lands on them. Like,
when you tore the bridge apart and you saw the car falling in slow mo, I was like,
why are you doing this? Like, this is horrific.
Yes, yeah, like, this is
me dark, but I was like, yeah, sure.
No.
I feel like there's no other way to do it.
I'm not saying that I have a problem with the thing. I'm just saying more that, like, if we're gonna have those human stories, then you need to address, like, there needs to be more sense of, like, because, for example, Maddie's character, I can't understand how she's so Team Godzilla. He's killed, have you seen, like, obviously he's not doing it on purpose, but he's caused a lot of damage, like, and all the people who are, like, super environmentalists, I'm like, okay, for every Titan he saved you against, how many people have died? And I just think that if there was a much more, like, for example, with the villain, the tech guy or whatever, if we had seen maybe, like, oh, the reason that he's done this is because he's had enough of, like, this much loss, that would have made more sense. If you get what I mean,
I'm gonna poke some holes in this. I agree with what you guys are saying.
So why are you poking holes in?
Wait, guys.
If this guy really was trying to avoid the human casualty, wouldn't there be, like, an anti-Titan defense system that doesn't involve you making a mechanical Godzilla that is probably still gonna stomp through the city and probably still, like, wreck and kill things? Probably gonna do more damage because you're a person trying to emulate. Well, yeah. I don't know how it works. Furthermore, actually,
hold on, that's not really a hole you're poking. Shit was gonna get wrecked.
Yeah, I said they should have.
Yeah. But you could have, like, guns, like Titan guns that shoot them from over the borders of the sea or some shit.
Well, I was giving suggestions. I'm not saying he cared about
you. Yeah,
if your first port of call is build a giant version, you're doing it wrong, right?
Also, I wasn't really paying attention. Yeah, but why? Firstly, from Godzilla 2, yeah, where did that organ? Did I have to go remember the name of the organizations? Where did the terrorist Apex? So did the terrorist group from 2 become Apex? Is that what happened?
No, because he bought.
So why did the skull that he bought end up with Apex? I don't understand. The King Ghidorah skull, the last head, because he bought it at the end in the post credit scene, and then in Godzilla vs Kong, Apex had it and was using it to power the.
I don't watch post-credit scenes for movies I don't care about.
Tywin Lannister bought it at the end of Godzilla 2. I don't know his name.
Charles Dance.
He bought it in the end of Godzilla 2 and in Kongzilla. Apex had the head. And why was the head... Why was that even a thing to connect to Godzilla?
It suddenly started to get, like, a bit Pacific Rimmy. I was like, how? Like, I don't. Well, how?
The Jaeger,
like,
thing.
Yeah, I was
And then the guy inside died, and the whole time I was watching that last, like, act, I, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, there is a dead guy just being flung around inside.
He wasn't inside it when he acted.
Oh, was he not inside of it?
No, he was in the skull. Yeah, he was in the skull. He wasn't inside the thing.
He was in the skull. Yeah, see, yeah. That's how you know I weren't paying attention. But fair enough.
Someone walked past the room, they just hear meat slapping against the side of the skull.
But it's just so weird. Like, so they were fighting the ghost of Ghidorah, basically. Like, that whole thing was just so, like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know.
Lazy.
You know what I really enjoyed, though? Like, I feel like, you know... And I think this is some tips for Godzilla personally, because I feel like King Kong and the Mecha Godzilla were, like, really throwing punches and stuff. You know, there was a lot of, like, tactical kind of fighting going on there. And I feel like Godzilla could really learn from that. because he wasn't very inventive with his footwork, you know, like it was quite lackluster, you know, he was just kind of not really doing that.
If Godzilla
much.
Started bobbing and weaving, I would have stopped watching that movie. I would have left.
No, that would have got 10 out of 10.
I think he could have done more bobbing and weaving. Because did you not see Kim Kong was like jumping off buildings, you know?
He's a monkey.
Yeah, I know, but so was Mechagodzilla. Like, he was like throwing punches. I just feel like
Mechagodzilla was putting in some work, though.
He really was. I was very impressed with the choreography.
They should have all got swords and had a sword fight. I don't know. It was that kind of film that you'd be like,
right. I mean, he had an axe.
Okay.
I don't know why he had an axe.
Wait. You've gone back to tools, right? Hold on. Hold the goddamn. Why
Kratos
did they
axe?
Have a building? That, yeah, no, forget even just the tools. Like, those tools wouldn't have been able to, like, make the king throne thing that they had. Like, those tools wouldn't have cut it, literally and metaphorically.
Like, I don't think about it too much.
That did really confuse me, because I was like, there was a King Kong society? Like, because...
Yes.
For me, it wasn't the tools. It wasn't even the throne that like thing. It was the door. I was like, who made the door?
It was like those hinges were smooth. And that must have been millennia ago. Like, those hinges are smooth.
Maybe they had like, I don't know, like little human like things, maybe.
Wow, slaves, you mean?
Yeah.
Slave people.
Yeah, maybe.
one of the just to close.
I don't want
to
think about it.
Just to close it before we give it a rating, just the last thing that I thought was funny was that the girl, I've already forgotten her name, the girl telling Kong that Godzilla Gia. Was Gia telling Kong that Godzilla weren't an enemy after he just whooped his ass. Whooped his head, lying on the floor. She's like, he's not your enemy.
Because you could see in his face that he, like, you know, even at the end when they beat the other, like, and he put the axe down, it wasn't like he didn't want to do that.
He didn't want that smoke. It just made me laugh. Like, he just whooped your ass.
It's because, yeah, like, he looked at her like, for real? And she's really as well. Like,
because you think about it,
they did a really good job making him emotive. That was
and he was just trying to live his life, man. He was just poor Kong. He was getting dragged about this film. He was just
It was entirely monkey business.
Let's give this a number out of 10. I'm gonna just flat out say it. I'd give this a straight up 5 it's a fine film, and it was fun if you just forget about everything. the more you think about it, the more problems it will just get lower and lower. Don't do it.
If you're thinking about the title, you're thinking about it too deeply. That's so I'm gonna give it 5.
I'd give it a 5.5 because now that we're talking, I really enjoyed this fight.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. Yeah. Oh, wait. That bit where they drilled a hole in the earth and he looks down at him like, you want it again? You want it again?
Do you know what? It just, I'm sure there's a meme that encapsulates this. Kong was just out here and then he's just poking his head around every corner. Maybe that the one of Shaquille behind the tree. Maybe that. I don't
just
know.
Just like rubbing his hands together.
He's just everywhere he goes, Godzilla's like, yo, what's this you saying? Like, what's he doing now?
But I feel like I need to watch this fight scene. Like, if I could just remove all the human stuff, I would watch this again.
Yeah, I'd say this has the worst, the best Titan stuff and the worst human stuff. And I am saying it is worse than Godzilla's human stuff. Because it's like they tried to do too much, but it was somehow worse.
They did reference the fact that, you know, because like when, what's the kid called in the film? Maddie's friend, the guy who's from Wolf Saving
Josh.
Yeah, Josh. I did enjoy the fact where he was like, yeah, we just need to reset the password and then it's not working. And then he's like, I really did HTML at some point.
Because
I was thinking, why everyone. Did he do that? Like, what does he know?
He was the best part of the human story. Because he was the audience surrogate. Because like every time she would say some dumb shit, he's like, get in a van with a straight... What?
Yeah,
we're gonna go. This guy is crazy. You know he's crazy. Tap water. You what?
Yeah. Wait, he has an alcohol bottle in a gun holster. It was so unnecessary. Like, why are you giving Tyree Henry this character? For what reason?
In fairness, he nailed it. He nailed it.
He did. Hassan, your score out of 10?
Out of 5.
5. Out of no, 10.
Out of
10.
Oh, 5 out of 10.
Ram did not give that a 5.5 out of 5.
Yeah, no, I gave it a 5, mate. I gave it a 5.
And lastly, just because we're short on time, who won? I think it's a no-brainer.
Obviously, Godzilla won, but my heart will always be with King Kong. King Kong won my heart.
Yeah, I mean,
King Kong can't even look at himself in the mirror for the next 6 years.
Fine, he's free in his home. Just
he's got US agent vibes. On his knees, like, and he didn't even have an axe.
Oh my god.
Sorry, that was the highlight of my Friday, you know. I was laughing for ages.
It's so good. So good.
All right, so we'll be very I'm going to say, yeah, Godzilla won. I think Godzilla literally shoots atomic laser stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking of all the other things that are wrong with that film, but we haven't got time. let's be very quick with this and try and rate the MonsterVerse. Just rank it from worst to best. I'm going to just throw out what I think the order should be and we can discuss quickly just for time's sake. And I'm going to say, in order from worst to best, I'm going to put Godzilla 1, Godzilla 2, Godzilla vs. Kong, and I will put Kong Skull Island best. I did think Skull Island was better than Godzilla vs. Kong. I did.
Wow.
I think from the Titans, from sorry. I think I would agree, but I might swap Godzilla vs. Kong with Skull Island, but I think
I can see that.
I agree for the overall story, I'd swap it, but because I'm only thinking about I've literally deleted the human part of Godzilla vs. Kong. Anything about the Titans, if I was just thinking about that, then I'd put it on top of Skull Island. But if I'm thinking overall story, then I'll put Skull Island first.
I think you guys are both wrong. I think you guys are hugely wrong. I think it's Godzilla, Skull Island, Godzilla 2. And then Godzilla vs. Kong. I think that, that's
Godzilla
my
2
order.
Was
let me explain why, right? Because the American soldiers and the weird propaganda that they weren't really leaning into and they were kind of going, is war bad or is war good? And they kept doing that thing and I was just like, fuck off, just like that. This is not entertaining for me. That's why I put Skull Island second worst. The Titan diversity in Godzilla 2 was tip top. The design for the monsters and stuff, and like the plot was dumb.
What was the story exactly?
But like all the plots are dumb. All the plots are dumb.
It was like one of the it was more dumb.
Do you know what I hear what you're saying about the Titans. I think if I'm looking at them as just Titan films, I'd probably put Godzilla vs. Kong up above Skull Island. Yeah. But in terms of a film, I think the human and also there was a really severe lack of character across all of these films and character arcs. They were just all like robots. And I just feel like it felt less egregious in the Skull Island films because there was just a concept of them being trapped on an island. So you can put out like a film that doesn't need to have, you can have them reacting to the environment. Mm-hmm. I'm a Predator fan and I actually like the new Predators film that no one seemed to like. So I like people being brought out of their, like that whole setting kind of made the film a lot more palatable for me than the Godzilla films because it just made the human film bit feel just more okay because you're like, these people are in the wild, you see them react to the wild shit, the ecosystem of the island and this, that, and it was fine. But
I hear that. I've got one question for you. Would it have made it a better movie if they had smeared cold mud on themselves?
Maybe if the Predator came and fought King Kong at the end,
that would have been a 10 out of 10 movie. That would have been a 10 out of 10.
I get your thing about is war good or bad and that thing with Samuel Jackson, but I feel like it is one of those films that it's obvious, it's to be expected, you know. Mm-hmm. How that story is going to conclude, and it was okay, and it kind of made sense in the term of of what is happening in the film, if that makes sense. Whereas in Godzilla, like, it was just like a whole load of nothing. You've got my man like, no, I must go and bring the bomb to Godzilla.
Yeah, no, Godzilla was the worst one, because it was just there was no coherence. Like,
oh,
it was
Godzilla, just, yeah.
It was just like a series of events lightly to like kind of brought all together by your boy who kept kind of landing into these horrible situations with
Kick-Ass. I forget his name now.
Yeah, that was Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was him as well.
The reason the first one is easily a lot worse is because it was just him being there when things were happening. Mm-hmm. And also the people were kind of irrelevant to what Godzilla was doing anyway. And also Elizabeth Olsen doing absolutely nothing. She done that less than Lois Lane in the Snyder Cut. She was like, yo, let me put my child on this bus so that I can run around in the city and create some sort of stakes.
Like, that was it.
And it was just dark. That film was dark. But I guess the only point of... I don't know how you're putting Skull Island so low, man.
I didn't enjoy it. I just didn't enjoy it. There's just like... There was some cool stuff about it, and John C. Reilly's always fun, but like, yeah. I much prefer like more Titans and like kind of more spectacle in my spectacle movie than...
Yeah, I get that. And I guess we got a kind of good idea. I just feel like it was a better complete, like, if I was to just say to like kids to watch one of these films, I'd say Kong vs Skull Island. Actually, no, I'd say Godzilla vs Kong, because that was wild.
I heard you talking shit looking down through the earth.
Okay. I mean, let's just move on. I feel like we could go back and forth about our orders all day. I guess that's it, really. I mean, Ram, you had a question here about appropriation. I don't know how deep you want to go into this.
Not so much appropriation. I just thought that one of the things that kind of struck me was, like, given the history of Godzilla, it did feel weird, like, him, so many Americans in this film kind of thing, if you get what I mean, or mm-hmm. that, like, kind of relationship between Japan and the USA. I wouldn't call it appropriation necessarily, but, like, I just thought it was interesting, that kind of like struck me, that they didn't really address some, like, the thing that literally births Godzilla and the situation,
the Titan in the room.
Exactly. So I just thought
I like that one.
Obviously, I don't expect the movies being like the kind of movies that they are to address that, but I just thought it was interesting.
I feel like it's one of those,
like, it's
there's I think there's people, I won't say it's woke, but there's people that address current issues and filmmaking styles in their art. And then there's, you know, there's filmmakers and just that TV show makers that still have, you know, the sassy black lady, and you know, like, they still lean on tropes and old things, you know, like the whole thing of having a film in another country, but you somehow find this American or British scientist or paleontologist or microbiologist that happens to be working in that country just as a means for you to still have a white protagonist in this film. There's some people that they're just not ready to kind of move on from that yet. Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes
you want the recognizable names as well. Sorry, Hassan.
I was going to say, the whole adventure kind of series of books and like that whole genre of movie was a racist stereotype thing of Mighty Whitey. And a lot of it was cultural appropriation, like straight up, like going to other people's culture and taking what they want and decrying everything else as being savage. Like, there is a horrible, like, horrible history to Indiana Jones and all the things that birthed those movies that you love. And it's like, do we need to get into it for King Kong versus like this? Like, I think it's way more applicable in like Skull Island because of the way with like the natives and how they treat the natives. And it's just like, there's a lot of like kind of consent, but like these movies aren't the discussion places for that, right?
I think Marvel's done this thing of like showing how you can make something that has audience for everyone but still put in like political themes or like kind of like sort of like political correctness, like
being self-aware.
Being aware. So I think part of that is actually our standards been raised a little bit, which is good, to be fair. But you realize not everyone is on Disney's wave yet. But yeah, let's wrap that up. Godzilla vs Kong, 5 out of 10, but also maybe the best film in the MonsterVerse.
Okay. out of 5 out of 10s, it's the 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Don't think about that too much. Before we go, what have you guys been up to? Go on, I want you to fight to go first. Fight!
I'll go first. I've been playing the Outer Worlds DLC Part 2, which is amazing. It's so much fun. I've been reading Brandon Sanderson because, like, why not? Is the diving back into that well. I've been watching Invincible and with Has Husband, and I've been watching something else, Attack on Titan. Yeah, so I've been getting into that, and we'll do an episode. Yeah, that's me. That's what I've been up to.
Nice, Ram.
I have been burning through Claymore. I bought the manga. I'm like 7 volumes away from finishing, so I'm taking a pause because I want to savor it. And the way I'm taking a pause is by watching the Claymore anime, which is kind of different to the manga. Like, there's loads of beats that they kind of miss, which I thought was quite strange. But anyway, I have been still playing Zelda. I bought the expansion pack, as I mentioned last week, so not finished. I will finish, but don't hold me to that. I've been watching Invincible as well. I've been watching Skate Infinity. I've been watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier. What else have I been reading? I've mostly been on a manga read. I feel like that's everything.
Nice. I just want to say, because you both brought up Falcon and Invincible, these shows right now are on fire. I call it Fabulous Friday now. That's what I call it. It's been a long time since I've like a day where I'm like almost like Super Sundays I used to have for anime, like where I'm like, cool, boom, these two things back to back, I'm gonna watch them on Friday. They're so good.
I'm legit.
I missed Jujutsu Kaisen though.
Yeah, that's true. But outside of that, for me, I finally completed Medium. That game was very bizarre. It's almost like watching an indie horror film. Nothing makes sense. You're gonna have to do some reading afterwards. It's quite interesting. There's a lot of themes that it deals with. Go on.
I've heard it described as kind of a better like tech demo than it is a game. Like showing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's a good tech demo either. Well, actually, let me not lie. I have it on PC, and the game is optimized woefully. Like, I couldn't maintain 60 frames at 1080, and I've got a 3070 RTX. So you should just for context there. But I've jumped straight onto Neo. I'm playing Neo 2, the PS5 version. I forgot it got an upgrade, so I'm back playing that, having good times. Doing a totally different build to last time. And I've been reading, finally cracking on with The Other History of DC. I don't know if I mentioned that in the podcast a couple episodes ago, or last episode, but it's like, this is written by John Ridley, and he's looking at the history of DC characters through certain black characters. So I've just finished volume 1, which was Black Lightning, and volume 2 is Bumblebee and Mal Duncan. I don't know if he has a Vox, I think that's his, but he's been the Guardian and other things. So it's quite interesting to look at like some of the big major events that's happened throughout DC's history, but through the eyes of these black characters. There's some interesting commentary about Black Lightning and Green Lantern. But yeah, you guys should check it out. And also I picked up Next Batman Second Son, which is, I think it's continuing the whole Next Batman thing with Jace, aka Tim Fox, being Batman or Black Man. But I think it's gone back a bit, and maybe because of how Future State just dropped you in things, I think it's going back to kind of show us how he ended up being the Batman. And I've been playing a ton of Pokemon, man. Like, it's getting hell a bit yeah. worrying right now. Hell like yeah. I've hell been yeah.
team building, I mean, I'm worried, to be honest.
Team building. That's the whole time I was watching these MonsterVerse films, I was like just playing online.
Leeway, we're gonna start pimping you out online, playing competitive league. Just getting on.
I don't want to embarrass myself. Look, man, I do not want to embarrass. And that was part of why I said Skull Island was the top for me, because out of all of those films, Skull Island was the only film to make me put down my Switch for a substantial amount of time when watching a film. I don't know why, but Godzilla vs. Kong did, but that was because there was these wild fights going on in bright colors. But that's me.
That's it.
I believe that is an episode. Ryan, would you like to tell the lovely listeners where to find us?
You can find us on The Nerd Alternative on Instagram, On Twitter at the Nerd Alternative without an E after the N. Same on Reddit. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Google Podcasts. Yeah, just Google us.
Leave us a rating and review as well, and a subscription. Thank you. That'd be great.
And shout me if you want that smoke on Pokemon, because I might be able to provide it. I might be able to provide it. Notice how I say might. But yeah, until next time. See you.
Bye.
Hi. Welcome to The Jury Room, a true crime podcast. My name is Kevin, and I will be your host on this journey. We will be covering some of the most heinous, some of the most unthinkable, and some of the most monstrous crimes to ever be committed against humanity. We will be covering cannibalistic serial killers, decades-old unsolved mysteries, cold cases, missing person cases, and everything in between. The Jury Room podcast is available on most major podcasting platforms. Please make sure you go subscribe and leave a review.